We begin this weekend's liturgy with a reading from the book of Genesis, the beautiful story of Abraham welcoming the three guests who then promise that Sarah will have a son. And they cut it off just at the best part, because after this, Sarah laughs, and so they name the son Isaac, which means he who laughs. But the focus, of course, being on that hospitality that Abraham provides to these three strangers. On the other hand, we have the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, in which he speaks about filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, this Christ whom he proclaims the good news of our salvation. And I think that both of these readings find a nice, if you will, joining together in the all too familiar story of Martha and Mary, which over the ages has been probably interpreted in various ways, but I think in our own time is most appropriately interpreted as a story about proper balancing. So we have Abraham and Martha. Both are concerned about hospitality and are tending to their guests, which is a very noble and worthwhile work to do. On the other hand, we have St. Paul and Mary, who both are concerned with attention to Christ and listening, which is also necessary. For in our lives, we need both. But as Christ reminds us, in that proper order. It's like the great commandment: you shall love God first and your neighbor second as yourself. So we need to spend time at his feet, like Mary, in order to know how we ought to serve, what we are to be truly anxious about, if you will. Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. Calm down. Let me tell you what to worry about. But this requires that recognition, of course, that we are limited creatures. We can't do everything. And this is good. A very good thing. Because if we could, then we wouldn't place our trust in God. This also requires much humility, for it means recognizing that we don't know everything. We need to sit at his feet to listen, to learn, so that we can respond. To be active and contemplative, Martha and Mary, an integrated life. It's surprising at times that we don't consider this, since in our society, at least when I was in high school, there was the stress on being a well-rounded student so that you could get into high school or get into college. One who didn't just do well in school, but maybe did well in sports or some other activity. And so when I was younger, I played baseball. And then when baseball stopped, well, it was either continue with baseball or go into Boy Scouts. My parents didn't let me do both, thank God. But just that recognition that I would have some form of extracurricular activity, right, became the stressing factor. And we need to do that as well in other areas of our life, most especially in our spiritual life. We need a deep prayer life to balance our active life. These are not opposites, active and contemplative, as we sometimes might think, but things that complement one another. Because there's something holy and divine that is hidden in the ordinary, everyday situations of life. But we need to discover it based in our own unique vocation. And so I'm sure we can all think about the active side quite easily and how to do that because we're caught up in it. So today I'd like to propose some ways to attend to the contemplative. At the end of the day, doing an evening examination at the feet of our Lord, taking the time to look over our day and see how we have loved, how we have served, what have we done wrong, what good have we omitted, and how has God loved us throughout the day. How have we responded to the responsibilities of our vocation? Basic things like care for our children, attending to our work, loving our parents, our schoolwork. Oh, wait, it's summer. So maybe our chores, right? Do we sit at the feet of the Lord to ask Him who to pray for? What to pray for? Because there's many things that we could be praying for. We also need to sit at the feet of our Lord when we want to know what to do with our lives. When I was exiting high school, going into college, I had no idea what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and so I asked God. So now I'm standing here. But lest you think, if you ask God, He'll turn you into a monk and priest, don't worry, I have friends who are married and have fulfilling jobs. Some of them don't always pay well, but they pay enough. It's important that we sit at the feet of our Lord every moment of our life, but especially maybe now in light of recent events, such as the attacks in France. You know, when we think about them, I think an important question to ask ourselves is, are we ready if our country is attacked again? How's our relationship with God now when things seem secure? Will it last when insecurity faces us again? Or to take something even more disturbing in some respects, in Pensacola, Florida, where the city council allowed for a satanic prayer to be said in the chambers. Yes, Satan is a creature of God and has been chained by Christ. But more and more people seem to be open to allowing his influence in this world. Do we sit at the feet of our Lord to help us to make sense of what's going on? And are we all right if we don't understand completely? Do we trust that He is the one who's in control? This balancing of the active and contemplative is not just for us monks who live according to a life of ora et labora, prayer and work. For as Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 32 reminds us, the community of believers was of one mind and heart, sharing all things in common, the basis of the Christian life and our life as monks, the both and of our Catholic faith. And so as we approach our Lord in this Eucharist, may we seek the grace to attend more carefully to our prayer life, to make sure that we spend the time at the feet of our Lord, to allow that prayer and that conversation to flow into the ordinary of our lives, and to take that ordinary and bring it up into our prayer so it becomes this continuing spiration, if you will, of love, receiving the love of God and returning that love to Him through a life of prayer and activity. And when the activity seems overwhelming, when we might be concerned and anxious about many things, stopping to ask our Lord, are we just putting too much burden on ourselves? Or is this all work truly from Him?